It's finally happening. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, hey, it's Tuesday, Topical Tuesday. Tuesday, April 7th, 10:22 a.m. already. Way behind. I should be out doing stuff outside right now. I'm not. I'm inside. I'm stuck down in this hole down in the dungeon here, in our basement, here at the home studio. And, yeah, there he goes in the guitar thing. We have lots to talk about today. A lot of things have been happening. Whole lots of things to talk about. But we'll start off with the intro to the show that we always do. We always do. I always do. There's no we here. It's just me. I know all of you think that this is such a fantastic and incredible show. There must be a producer and a director and a whole staff of individuals out here that are working on, you know, show prep, all the things that happen with the show. I'm sure that's what you're all thinking. It's got to be a massive facility, this place, that, you know, that everything operates under it's a big shoe here we got going on. There is a big shoe here, but it's one of my old shoes. Anyway, it's not that. It's not what you think it is. I'm sure most of you have this idea that there's just this big, massive staff and 25,000 square foot facility that we operate out of. Not yet. That's not going to happen yet. It could happen in the future. It's not happening right now. There was a facility I wanted to get a long time ago that didn't happen. Still kind of kicking myself about that one. Wasn't in a position to get it. It would have been. It was an old television station, radio station that. Facilities were really cool. It would have been a really cool place to do this kind of thing. However, there was just this whole vision of what that place could have been. But it still could happen. Something like that could happen. Maybe just a brand new facility. Maybe that might be what I need to do. I've got a friend here in town. His name is just a one letter. His name is one letter. He knows who I'm talking about. If he happens to hear the show, I'm waiting for him to fund it. I think he's the big money behind all this stuff. He's the big money guy in town, and I'm pretty sure if he just, you know, happens to just drop something out of his pocket, it'd probably be enough to pay for. You know, he's kind of in the same ship that I am. We're both scraping by. Well, today's instead of having what was it last. Last Friday. It was supposed to be Financial Friday show. I don't think I had it, did I? I didn't have it. I was all set up for it, though, by golly. I was all ready to go. Had that thing all ready to go. Had it all ready to go. But it didn't happen. Now, I'm trying to figure out how to get... I thought I could get to Notebook LM via a web browser. Why can't I... Surely it's not something I can only get from... I've got to be able to get to that thing from Notebook LM. Notebook LM. It's right there. Notebook LM / Google. I've got to be able to. It doesn't give me a place to sign in. Overview, plans. What is that? I don't know what that is. X, get the app. Plans. What's this down here? That's a little person there. Upload your sources. I'm sure I've used this thing from my computer. I'm sure I have. And I just don't understand why it's not giving me the opportunity to log in from here. Is that Android? What is that? I don't know. That looks like something else. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, I can get to it on my phone. Why can I not get to it from here? Do I have to go to Google to get to this thing? choose Chrome, the browser built by Google. I am. Oh, no, that's Safari. That's why. Why is Safari over here? What's going on with Safari here? Let's just put that away. Let's just get the Chrome out here. I bet it'll work with Chrome. And the reason I need to get this is because I created something in with my notebook. There we go. Let's just try it over here. See what happens when I do it over here. Google Notebook LM. No, it still doesn't do it. Try Notebook LM. Let's try it. It works. I could not get to it via... I don't understand that whatsoever. I have no idea. We're gonna do a little experiment today on today's show. We'll get to it in here in a little bit. But that's why I had to go over there. There it is. That's Chrome. I was on the wrong screen there. There we got it up there. All right. Anyway, So here we are. We have a lot of things happen. We'll talk about a little bit of news, but we're going to go into that whole thing about the Financial Fridays. I think we're going to talk about finances today. We're going to talk about the, I do have a little bit of AI-generated stuff from Notebook LAM. I'm going to talk about that a little bit, just because I always talk about AI stuff. Might even talk about what's going on in the AI world, just a little bit. I've got a cup here full of chai with Almond Joy creamer in it. I put a little bit more creamer in it than usual. I usually just add a splash, and I kind of got maybe a splash and a half or maybe two splashes in there. Accidentally, and it's good. It's good stuff. It's good. Yeah, it'll work. I have in my backup cup here. I have still what's left of my sweet peach tea. There is a little residual Chick-fil-A sweet tea in my cup. In fact, I'm using a Chick-fil-A cup this morning. On my way home yesterday, I was yesterday morning. I was somewhere. I know I was. I had to have been somewhere. I wasn't just nowhere. I'm pretty sure I was because I ended up in Cincinnati over the weekend. I was supposed to go on Friday night. I ended up in Grand Rapids, which is where I was supposed to be. I was going to go to Cleveland the next night, and because of weather and other issues and some other things, I ended up in Cincinnati. Which was fine, I guess. I had a very short night in Cincinnati. I ended up having to travel all day. I got down there. It was a very short night in Cincinnati. Anyway, ended up making it to Green Bay on Easter Sunday. Sunday morning, actually. And was there most of the day. And then yesterday I came home from there. Ended up having to go through, where did I go through? Greenville. Greenville, Spartanburg is where I went. Went to Greenville, South Carolina, I think it's South Carolina. I had to go there, and I went inside the airport there, and I asked somebody as soon as I walked in. I said, "Is there any place here that has sweet tea?" And they were like, "Well, I don't think so. There's like a little bar place across the hall there from where the gate was, and there's just maybe over there." Went over there, and guys. I don't have any sweet tea here. I don't know where any place in the airport has sweet tea. I was like, "Well, I'll go for a little walk." So I went down the. Started going down the terminal just a few feet. Well, it was, a couple gates down. And guess what? It was as if the clouds parted. It was as if the sea parted. The clouds were removed. It's as if I could hear angels singing in the background. I don't know if angels sing or not. They may not. Angels screaming in the background. They were crying out. As that's all scripture only says they cry out. All of a sudden, before me, therefore, lo and behold, there was a Chick-fil-A right there in the airport. Center of the airport. You couldn't miss it. So I proceeded very reverently down the escalator, down to where the Chick-fil-A was. Oh, you know what? I didn't turn on my, I better turn that thing on. It's not getting anything. All right, it's working now. All right. It's so I ended up going to Chick-fil-A to get some. I almost got some breakfast, but I had just had a breakfast bagel earlier, and I didn't want to, you know, just pig out for the day. And I knew that on my way home, I would potentially get possibly Chick-fil-A on the way home. I did not do that, by the way. I ended up not doing that. I ended up going to Culver's and got a fish sandwich on the way home. So it worked out pretty good. So I just got my sweet tea there that in the morning, and then by the time I got home, traffic was terrible going through Chicago. Getting home, it took forever. Around the state line is usually where it's bad, between Illinois and Indiana, right in that area, 294. It turns into 80, but it wasn't good. So I stopped into Culver's there and got a fish sandwich and some cheese curds, of course. And because you got to do that, and then I got a tea there, but I've had that conversation before about Culver's tea. It's just not my favorite flavor of type of tea they have there. It's sweet tea, but it's just not the same. Anyway, so that's what I'm sipping on here this morning. There's probably maybe a fourth of a cup left in the bottom of my Chick-fil-A cup, so I filled it up with my tea to conquer the taste of the. To heavily influence the taste of the Chick-fil-A tea. Anyway, that's what I've got here this morning. In the meantime, so that's what we've got going on, and it's I'm going to talk about this little thing with this AI thing, and then we're going to talk about some good news. Maybe we'll talk about the good news first, then we'll get into the whole AI thing and talk about finances, and just talk about how that's going in the meantime. So there you go. Here we go.
It's the news. It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news.
Hey.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's a happy day song.
According to me.
Yeah, I've got some other stuff. I've recorded some other things. I thought about doing some other stuff as well. Maybe while this little thing I've got planned, maybe while that's playing, there's about a 3-minute long little audio thing I want to play for you. It's like a podcast within a podcast. It's incredible. It's an amazing thing. It's a mind blowing concept. I might get that ready to go while I'm talking. I just can't remember what all everything was on there. Anyway, that's what we've got going on. Some good news. I don't think this had not happened yet last week. Now, my understanding is they have extracted the other aviator out of the Iran conflict issue over there. An extreme amount of effort was made to get the guy out, which I think was a bigger deal. Now, you know, I've often wondered. Now, when these guys that go down behind enemy lines like this, and there's this effort to get them out, and sometimes they lose, other men get lost in the process of this happening. Now, this didn't happen. Nobody was killed. There were some injuries, but nobody was killed in the process of getting this thing out. They lost a lot of equipment. I think there was a couple of helicopters. I mean, this was a multi-million-dollar operation to get him out of there. Which is a very different mentality than has been in the past. I have to tell you, there was a. I used to work for a guy that was in the Navy, and I believe he was some kind of a pilot in the Navy. He didn't fly fighters, but he flew something off of a carrier, and he worked on an aircraft carrier. He may not have been a naval aviator. I don't know if he was a naval aviator or not. I don't know. I know he worked on an aircraft carrier because he told this story. There was a day, and this is back when I was a young kid. I was in my 20s, and I was working for this guy, and I was all excited about working for this place. It was an airport. I was just learning how to fly. I think I maybe had my first one or two Discovery flights, and I was working for this guy. I was in the back seat of this car, and we were out. He was also the airport manager as well as the FBO operator, fixed base operator. He was the guy in charge of pumping gas and taking care of services there at the airport. he had a contract with the city to do that. Now for his responsibilities, he had to make sure he did airport surveillance and made sure. And this was back before 9/11. This was back in the 80s, early 80s, and he was one of those guys who, you know, he thought he was the smartest guy. When he walked in the room, he thought he was the smartest guy in the room. That's just the way he was. Now, he had his dad with him at this point. They were out in this car, and there was something had happened out on the runway. There was a taxi light that needed to be checked or whatever it was. They stuck me in the back of the car, in the back seat. Drove out there. It was kind of rainy and kind of nasty weather. And he sent me out there, and he just, you know, yeah, go out and check that light out there and make sure that there's like a flange around the bottom of it or something, and make sure it's sitting in there right correctly, and gave me a little wrench to tighten up something, whatever it was. So I get out there, I do my thing, I come back in, and they're talking to each other, and apparently his dad was concerned about my safety, which was nice of him to be concerned about my safety. And he said something about it. He said, he's going to be okay out there. He's going to make sure he's okay out there. And he said, well, you know, he's expendable. And that's what he was talking about right as I was getting back into the car. And his dad was, it seemed a little concerned about his son would have this kind of an attitude. But he was telling this story. He said, well, he proceeds to let me know that I'm the guy who's expendable. I'm an expendable individual. So he started to talk about this story about when he was on the aircraft carrier. Apparently somebody fell off of the aircraft and went overboard. And of course, they made some effort to, they threw a bunch of stuff over for survival, I guess, hoping he would make it. And just a bunch of flotation stuff and all kinds of stuff for him to hopefully be, you know, give him an opportunity, give him a chance. I don't think they recovered the guy. apparently, yeah, but I never really heard that part of the story because it was all, you know, it wasn't about the actual guy that had happened to. It was all about this guy that was taught, you know, it was my boss's story. It was all about him. Everything was always about him. So he said he was right standing right next to his the commander or whoever was in charge of the operation. I don't think it was the actual ship captain, but he was standing there and. He said, are we going to turn around, go back and get him? And he said, no, he's expendable. We're not going to turn around. We're not going to, you know, take thousands of dollars to turn this thing around. And at that time, probably tens of thousands of dollars. Now it would be $1 million, probably turn our ship like that around. And so he said, no, we're on task. We got to get to our location, and we can't afford to turn this whole thing around. Because there's when an aircraft carrier is going through the ocean, it is not alone out there. There are many other supporting ships and everything else that go along with it. It is an armada, typically. And there's things even underwater that are moving along, keeping track of what's going on. So it's not like they're just out there by themselves. And they can just, you know, just put it in reverse. We'll just back it up or turn it around, go back and get that guy. No, it doesn't happen that way. Well, they did expend some resources in going after him, and they might have launched a helicopter or something like that to go after him. I don't know what they did. Nowadays, that would be the case. Now, this aviator, they could have just left him out there. Could have said, you know, it's going to cost too much. It's too dangerous. Nobody's going to want to go after this guy. What would that do to morale of everybody else that's in the battle? First of all. There's so many aspects of this. I'm kind of jumping right in the middle of the deep end on this whole thing. But first of all, the whole world is watching this thing. And they're going to see whether or not we have the fortitude to go after this guy and bring him back. Whether this soldier's life is precious. Now, I guarantee you Trump has that opinion. Trump has the opinion we're not going to lose anybody if we're going to do everything we can. Spare no expense kind of thing, literally, to go after this guy. And at the same time, you know, there's so many different aspects of this whole thing. And it's what kind of amazes me is the difference in mentality that we have now than we used to have. But the... one of the things is the morale of the people involved in going after him. You've got, you know, it's like, well, that could be me out there. I mean, that's kind of what they've got to be thinking that. And for some of them, it may have been their friend. And maybe some of them didn't like the guy. But the principle of the thing was, we're going to get this guy back. We've lost one of our own, and we're going to go get him. It does several things on different levels. The other thing it does is it kind of gives you this, how dare they shoot our guy down? How dare they hurt one of our guys? It kind of solidifies the resolve and the unity, I think, within the purpose. I think it gives them a certain purpose. Now, there's a whole lot more I could go into that whole thing about diversity and purpose and all those kinds of things. And this idea that diversity is our strength is not our strength. Diversity is not our strength, okay? Let's just make that clear right now. That is not the case. With diversity usually comes adversity. It's not diversity in and of itself that has any great power to make us stronger. Boy, I'd like to talk more about that. I might. We'll see how that goes. But I'm just so full of stuff today. Full of things to talk about today. Not sure where to go with all that. Some people would say I'm full. Well, anyway, the point being, there's that aspect of it, and that could go many different directions. And then you got the what about this guy that's behind enemy lines? What about him? It would be so humbling if I were behind enemy lines. I'm trying to put myself in this guy's shoes. I'm behind enemy lines, and you've got multitudes of individuals risking their lives to come and get me. The amount of property that was lost. We lost a couple of helicopters because they literally had to destroy them. They brought a team in, a special forces team in, to actually get rid of to destroy the helicopters. They had to blow them up so that the Iranians would not have a chance to see any kind of technology. Wouldn't have a chance to, you know, it was just all kinds of things there they had to do. They didn't want them to be able to use them. Two, they didn't want them to be able to get any of our technology that we have on board. So they're trying to, you know, keep that from happening. My understanding was a couple of the, I can't remember what the designation of the helicopters are. I don't want to say because I'll mess it up. But there was a couple of big helicopters came in, the transport helicopters. They came in and apparently got stuck in the sand. Now, keep in mind, during the Carter administration, there was an attempt to get some folks out of Iran. And it was a mess. You know, it ended up being a failed mission, and of course, it was too little, too late for. It was an attempt to get to make President Carter look like a tough guy, and that didn't work. All it took was a tough guy to get into office, and they were letting him go right away. So anyway, they ended up getting these helicopters stuck. They ended up having to bring more helicopters in to get them out of there. Became quite an operation, and they ended up getting the guy out. But to be that guy. Now, what if something had happened? What if there had been a helicopter crash? What if there had been the enemy had come in and wiped out more than one person? If there had been an accident, or if there had been some kind of an attack. How do you live with that the rest of your life? How do you feel like, well, how was my life more important than that person's life or that? But at the same time, you have to come to grips with the fact that it goes beyond just you. There's this whole thing of there has to be an effort made, an all-out effort made, because no one will have the resolve. They'll have this underlying insecurity about whether or not anyone will step up to get them out. If they, if I'm out here doing this and I go down, you've got to know in the back of your mind, there is going to be an all-out effort for them to come get me. They're not going to leave me behind. You don't want that in. You don't want that even crossing your mind as you're flying around out there trying to shoot targets, whatever you're trying to do. You're trying to do your job. And you want that to be the last thing you think about is, boy, if I go down here, they're not going to come get me. I'm going to be on my own. These people are going to. So it's you don't want that. It was worth every bit of money that was spent and every risk that was taken for the simple cause of everyone else's morale involved. I'm sure these guys were high-fiving each other for, still probably are, but it's just one of those things where it's, you know, kudos and well done, I have to say. No matter what you think about the war and the effort and whatever, everything else, policies and all the other stuff that's happening, I don't care what you think about that. It has nothing to do with what they just accomplished here. It goes above and beyond heroism. It goes beyond. It goes just the sheer grit and courage these guys had to go in there. Now, my understanding was the PJs are they don't get the respect they deserve. There's Delta Force and everybody knows the SEALs. Been movies about them. There's all kinds of shows about the Navy SEALs, and everybody thinks that they're invincibles, guys. Which is the stigma that everybody wants to have go before them if they want to, you know, if they're, oh, the Navy SEAL. But the it was kind of that stigma that everybody wants to have. Oh, you're a tough guy. But the which they are. Don't get me wrong. And then Delta Force guys, of course, that's just that much more. There's totally different kind of personality types. But the PJs. I've had some conversations with some PJs long time ago, many years ago. I was a scuba diving instructor at one point, and as I was going through training, I got to talk quite at length with some of these guys. And they used to train them out it was Coronado Island. It was near San Diego. There was a training center out there for them, which they kind of trained along with the SEAL area. There was just because of the facilities where they were. I don't think they train there anymore. I'm not sure if that's the case or not. I have to kind of look into that. But anyway, they ended up talking to some of these guys, and they literally drown these guys. Well, I don't know if they still do or not. Maybe they don't do this anymore. They put you in a bag, like a big duffel bag. They put your body in there with some weights. And they throw you in a pool. And basically they drown you. And then they bring you back. So you know what it's like. That's just a part of their training. The stuff that they go through for training is unbelievable. And these guys are fearless. They will jump in the middle of the ocean. They will jump in with their flippers on, their little goggles. And they will come over and help you while you're screaming and crying and on the deck of a boat. They will hook you up to the harness and make sure you. And they'll watch the helicopter, you know, winch you up while they're down there with the sharks, the storm, whatever's going on, with who knows what's in the water, cables, fuel, whatever it is. They're down there doing that stuff. Most of them with a smile on their face. Unbelievable stuff. Just wacky, crazy, you know, incredible stuff that they do. And they just like, you know, it's amazing. Anyway, so we have that to celebrate today. We have that whole thing to celebrate, which I think is quite fascinating, in my opinion, that they were able to pull all that off without losing anyone. And we can just be thankful that he's back with us. Now he did get injured. There were some injuries. I think it was one of his legs or something. I think was pretty bad shape. Or maybe one of his arms. Either one of his arms or one of his legs. One of his appendages was pretty not severely injured, but it was he couldn't really use it. He was kind of. Very part of his story. Of course, you know that they're already, I'm sure they, before they even got him back, I'm sure they were picking out who they're going to have play him in the movie. But it's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting time for all that stuff. But thankfully, we are not the kind of military. We don't have the kind of military where you're just kind of, well, he's expendable. Oh, well. Well, I guess we lost one. We'll just have to let him go. So there you go. Got that going on. Anyway, I'm going to take a little sip here. I have, I'm going to take a little change in the, well, it kind of relates. We're going to take a little turn here in our discussion. We have interesting stuff. Where's all my stuff? Yeah, audio interview. Where'd it go? There it is. Yeah, well, it showed up. Good. Okay, we got this. We can play this. So to talk about finances a little bit, since we didn't get a chance to talk about finances last week. There's this feeling that, what is that? Well, yeah, I want to install that. Well, why wouldn't I want to install that? Let's do that while we're at it. There's this feeling among people, folks today, that they're making more money. A lot of people are making more money than they've ever made in their life. Or they're at the pinnacle of their career, making as much as they've ever made, or making as much as they can. And it's a desktop app. That's what I was looking for earlier. Can get that to work. All right, just happened just like that. I just pushed the button, and there it is. Cool. We have, and to me, it seems like this is the case. I am right now, currently, making more than twice what I made when I was doing the same career that I'm doing right now 20 years ago. I don't feel like I'm making twice as much. It just doesn't seem like it. We're living in the same house. We essentially, I don't even have a car payment now. We have, we do have several cars. We have, you know, we're paying enough as insurance to make up for the, you know, not having a car payment. We had two car payments back in the day, 20 years ago. But, you know, we have no car payments now. We have, we do have some insurance. We have other things we pay, which, you know, whatever. We have some memberships and stuff that we do, other things. But we don't have the our property taxes, the same properties we had 20 years ago. In fact, I was spending about everything I made, I guess. And maybe that's, I don't know. I was spending almost everything I made trying to get a business started 20 years ago, right before 2008 hit. And the reason I left the job I had was because I was pouring everything into that business, trying to get it to go. It just took a serious investment in you know, making product. It was a manufacturing business, more or less. I had a supplier, had all kinds of things I was trying to do. I was trying to promote the business, trying to do all this stuff, and it was just expensive to get all that going. I was spending more than I was making, and it was, but you know, relatively speaking, kind of, you know, recovered from that relatively okay. Worked for a number of years trying to start another, you know, other businesses and doing some stuff, just different things here and there. Not really making much of anything. You know, doing a lot of volunteer work and doing a lot of ministry work throughout that time, which was good. There's nothing wrong with that. Then got back into what I'm doing now, and I still do my little side business as well with the voiceover work and trying to kind of ease back into that again. Now that I'm kind of easing out, I'm going to be coasting out of this job during the next year. So I'm going to be looking at doing more voiceover work and other things. So it's just trying to keep that all rolling. And it's been a, but it doesn't feel like, you know, now we go out to eat. It's instead of 2 for $20, it's, you know, 2 for $60 now. And it's, it's just harder and harder to get the, it just seems like everything's more expensive. And it is, it's more expensive. Gas is more expensive. I mean, back then we were seeing gas under $2 a gallon. In fact, there was a short period of time there. I think it was just like just over $1 a gallon. Most of the time it was like between $1 and $2 a gallon. And of course, now it's, you know, more, it typically gets up there closer to $4 now, which is, that's part of it. A lot of other things involved as well. But so it's just one of those things where it's, it just seems like the more you make, the more things cost, which is the case. That typically is the case. However, now, you would hope that at some point you're working your way up the piggy pile where you start to make better money, you start getting raises, and you start whatever it is. So just you have to be very careful with this stuff, and we're going to talk about that. That's what this little podcast. Now what you can do, and what I did here is I put Notebook LM is a kind of an interesting LLM is what it is. It's a large language model that works within the confines of everything you put into that notebook. So let's say I put in documents, legal documents, whatever it is. I put all the stuff into this thing, and I can even put links to web page or to videos. I can put links to web pages if I want to. Yeah. Whatever it is that I put in there, you can put in videos, your pictures, diagrams, whatever it is you want to add to your sources. And this, you can have multiple notebooks. I've probably got only 12 notebooks here. I had a bunch of studying I needed to do. I put all my study materials into this thing. And what you can do is you can go to something called a studio. There's a sources, there's a chat, and there's a studio. When you go to the studio, it gives you the option. Now, it only draws on information based on what is in that notebook. So if you, let's see, what is this? This is a, what is that thing? It doesn't give me any kind of, I can share it. I can create a, whatever that's kind of a draft, whatever that thing is. What is this? Notebook LM. I'll put language. I can change the language if I want to on it. This is analytics. I can see, look at that. This is with the Pro program, of course. I'm a Gemini Pro. I think it's $20 a month, whatever it is. It just works on all this stuff. So I have three sources in here. It's three videos from Nick Invests, and it's a guy who does it. He does daily videos. It's an AI generated thing I think he just types it all out and lets it. He has a voice that he uses, I think, from 11 Labs, and he just reads everything to you like as if he's presenting, and it's got all kinds of slides and stuff, and shows all kinds of pictures while he's doing it. It's a no face video. It's good. It's he talks mostly about the psychology of finance, and so he's got this whole thing going on. I have these three videos that I just put the links to these videos in. Of course, now it works off the transcripts. It doesn't hear anything. AI can't hear things. It converts it into transcripts. And of course, then it goes into data and it goes into, so all those transcripts then go into what it can draw from, and it will not make anything up other than what's in there. Unless there's made up stuff inside the notebook, it will not hallucinate and create something weird. It doesn't necessarily know what to create. Sometimes it kind of gives you some information. It's like, I don't really know that, but it doesn't know that. So what it's going to do is I've got the three titles of these videos from Nick Invests. One is The Last Big Wealth Opportunity for the Next 10 Years or Much Longer, in parentheses. The second one is Who Can Actually Afford a Normal Life in 2026? The math is brutal. And the third one is You're Not Ready for What's Coming. So I've got those three videos in there, and I have not watched the videos. I put those in there as sources, and I can add sources. I can put my own notes in there if I can put whatever I want to in there. I can go to this little thing called, I can put chat in there. I can ask it questions, and I can just say, what does this thing say about this, or what, according to the sources that are in there, tell me this or that, or give me a summary. Now, it gives you a summary of everything that's in there. It says these sources analyze the modern financial landscape, highlighting the growing disconnect between rising living costs and stagnant household wages. Using data from past economic crisis, the author argues that periods of extreme market fear and geopolitical instability historically serve as generational wealth opportunities for disciplined investors. He talks a lot about the discipline of investing and the math of a normal life has become brutal due to compounding expenses like housing and childcare. The text emphasizes that avoiding panic-driven selling is essential for long-term survival. So that's, you don't want to sell out of panic. And a lot of people do see the market going down, they start selling out. They start cashing out of everything. That's not the time you want to cash out. That is the time you want to buy. It's the time you want to go in is when the market goes down. And right now is a buyer's market on many, many things because the market is down. Unfortunately, most people don't have money sitting there ready to invest. And that's one of the things that I think is one of the disciplines that you have to have we'll talk about this afterwards. But one of the biggest things is I think percentages. You have the money allotted. All the money that comes in is already in a channel. It's already ready to go. When money comes in, you have a certain percentage that goes into a giving fund. You have a certain percentage that goes into a educational fund or whatever the fund is. You have a percentage that goes into those things. Then, of course, you have a baseline fund that everything else is left for. You have a crazy money fund that you can just spend on whatever you want to without having a bad conscience about it. And then you have money that you put into something else, and you have it all divided up, but whatever it is. That way, when it comes in, it's already got a mission. It's already got a place to go. And if you've saved up enough money in your little you've got an account for your Harbor Freight tool account or whatever you want to call it, money that you're going to spend on tools, for instance, it's already in your tool account. You know what that is, and you could just I've got $100 in there. I'm going to go to Harbor Freight and buy 3,000 pieces of tool. I'm going to buy 3,000 tools with that $100. Whatever it is that you're able to do with those funds, and that's or giving funds, for instance. You put a certain amount in your giving fund, and it's whatever kind of comes along that you kind of feel like you want to give to. That's what you do. You just give to it. Away you go. There's no. And you can kind of do it. It's already money. It's already spent. You know what that money's there for. It's already gone. And of course, now if there's an emergency, you've got that money's all there. There's money that you can put into investing. There's money, and you can have a little financial account that you can go to that you can put 5% of your funds that come in or whatever it is, 2.5, whatever it is, whatever percentage you want to call it, into a little account for market drop, for market buy time. And what I think one of the points that they make in this thing is there are basically 11 days. I went through one of the things I did in the studio. I built an infographic. You've got all these different. You can do an audio overview. You can do reports. You can do data tables. You can do slide deck, flashcards, video overview. The video overview is kind of interesting to do that. You can do a quiz, a mind map, an infographic, and a data table. I did an infographic, and this infographic is very interesting because it basically culminates all the information that's in these three videos, and it pulls up this infographic. Now, I've got this infographic here. I have not downloaded it. I probably should download this thing, but it's got all this information, which is really interesting. I can zoom in on this, I think. Oh yeah, here we go. The 2026 Economic Survival Guide: Navigating the Five Waves and Building Generational Wealth. What's interesting about this is how it goes through all the political stuff and the rolling impact of conflict, gas spikes, immediate food shortages, delayed. That does tend to be a supply chains type stuff is delayed. Interest rates freezing permanent. Those are kind of permanent types of things. When you're buying a house or refinance, you have to go refinance. It's more of a permanent type thing. Just all this different things here. One of the things that they point out in here, the high cost of missing 10 days. There were 10 days in the history, 10 days, 10 events basically in the history of the country of investing that make the difference between $15,000 or 15,000% increase in your investments and 91% increase in your investments. because of the 10 times that you could have invested and you didn't. It's usually market drops, market crashes. The 2009 or 2008 crash, a lot of people moved to cash. We did. Had you not done that, had you put money in instead of out, if I'd have invested $5,000 in the at the end of 2008, the beginning of the 2009 crash, it would have become $18,000, for example. That's one of the things that is kind of, the 2009 crash stayed invested. If you cashed out, what's going on here? I can't get that to switch. Oh, there we go. If you moved to cash, you moved and you had $5,000 in your account, $5,000 now it would be $18,000. If you'd have put $5,000 in 2009 at the crash time, it would have become by now $210,000. Now that's almost 20 years ago. That's the difference in what has happened there. So that's just to give you some idea. Of course, it kind of goes through a few things here. You know, build your emergency fund first. You know, automate index fund contributions to capture fear-based discount. So, and like I've said before, fear and greed, the desire to earn more, to have more money, that's what I call that greed, I guess. I think greed gets a bad rap. one of the things that was in a movie a while back, it was the Wall Street, something about the Wall Street, Fox Wall Street or whatever it was. There's one line in there. I think it was, who was the guy's name? I can't think of what his name was. Kirk Douglas or something. It wasn't Kirk Douglas, whoever it was. He said something about greed is good. He was trying to argue before, I think it was in front of a courtroom or whoever it was. He was talking to some people. He said, greed is good. Well, to some degree, greed in and of itself, being greedy is one thing. Wanting to see your money increase and to earn more money is kind of a form of greed. Greed gets a bad rap in terms of what it is, definition of it. Let's look at let's just go to the Google, shall we? Or to whatever this is. Is it DuckDuckGo? Whatever it is. what is greed? Let's just see here what it says here. Greed is an excessive, selfish, and often insatiable desire for more than one needs or deserves, typically regarding wealth, power, or food. It is a strong, often immoral urge to acquire, frequently leading to the exploitation of others. Okay. That's the typical idea of greed. So why is it people want more money? Why do they want to have more money? I have a mission now in life to make as much as I possibly can legally and morally. Is that greed? What is that then? What is the desire to enrich yourself and to have more? Because I have a mission in life. We are trying to put together a foundation that will go on living after we pass away, that will provide scholarships and opportunity for other people. Is that greed? If that in and of itself is a would be considered generous, then what is this desire I have to make more money? What do you call that? I'm not greedy. Maybe I am a little bit. I don't know. Probably only human. I got some greed there going on. But what would you call the desire to make more money? To fund something like that? What is it? The only way it's defined here is intense and selfish desire for something, especially wealth, power, or food. Let's listen to it.
Greed.
Greed. Oh, that's how you pronounce it.
Greed.
There you go. Greed. Yeah. That's all I got there. But what do you, how do you define the desire to make more money as a, and that's that. So when I say greed, I'm not talking about this kind of greed. I'm talking about the kind of greed that just wants you want to make more money because you have a mission to maybe pay for your kids' college or get yourself out of debt or whatever it is. Is that greedy? I just maybe somebody out there can tell me. Maybe I can ask Elena if Elena calls in. Well, in fact, maybe Elena will call in. We'll just have to wait and see. We'll just see if she's anywhere around.
Thanks for taking my call, Kevin. Historically speaking, as a historian, I just think it's important to keep everything in a context of importance and realize the importance of history in all the contextual context.
Huh?
Historically.
Yeah. What? I don't know what you're saying. I have no idea what you're saying. We think of the opposite of greed. What is the opposite of greed? So maybe, Elena, maybe you can tell us, what is it if you want to make money, but you're not greedy, but you want to make money to fund something? What is that called? What is the definition of that? How would you define that? Is it greed or is it not greed? What do you think? Go ahead.
Well, host, if I may weigh in here, it seems you're grappling with the nuanced difference between greed and a more purposeful drive to earn and accumulate wealth.
As a historian,
I would say the opposite of greed is often described as prudence or diligence.
Oh, there you go.
The desire to earn more in order to support a worthy cause or provide for one's family is quite different from the insatiable, selfish impulse that defines greed. In fact, many of history's greatest philanthropists and social innovators have been driven by a mission to do good with their resources, not just amass wealth for its own sake. So what then?
So where do you go with that? I don't think prudence. What is the other word? Purposeful driven. I don't think prudence is the right word. I don't know. I don't know what the word is. Do we even have a word in the English language for that? I don't know. We do or not. That's kind of interesting. Let's see if anybody else wants to call in about this. I don't know. We'll see what Artie might have to say.
Hey there. It's me again, Miss Not Hearing the Show Yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I guess you're too busy to bother with us folks out here in the real world.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, well. I do have a comment to make about this financial stuff.
Okay.
It actually does seem like I'm making more, but not able to do as much as I could years back when I made less. Seems a little odd. Any thoughts?
Thoughts. I have thoughts. Well, yeah, I think I've pretty much shared most of the thoughts that I have. The because you're kind of right down the same aisle. We're going to listen to this little podcast within a podcast here. I think it's about 3 minutes long. I'm not sure how long it is, but we're going to listen to it. Let's see how that goes. But the I think so. But what is your definition? How would you define greed? And differentiate between greed and the idea that someone would be motivated to make more money or to make as much money legally as possible and not be nefarious in any way, but to make as much money as possible for the purpose of a mission, for the purpose of enriching one's family or funding a foundation or funding some kind of charitable a cause of some kind. How would you define that person without using the word just generosity or being generous? What is the desire to make more money? Do you want your desire to make more money so you can be generous? I don't know. How would you define that? How would you put that out there? Just go with that. Is there a way to define that? Is there a word in the English language for that? I don't know. You tell me. You're the smart guy. What do you think?
Well, actually, I think the key distinction here is the intent behind the desire to accumulate wealth. Greed would imply an insatiable, self-serving motivation to amass wealth solely for one's own benefit.
Yeah.
However, a more altruistic drive to earn more in order to fund important causes, support one's family, or contribute to the greater good could be characterized as financial stewardship or strategic wealth building, rather than greed. Technically speaking, it's about weighing the underlying purpose and using that to differentiate between self-interested greed and conscientious wealth management.
Okay. Yeah. But But there's not, you know, what gets me there is there's just not one single word that we can use to describe that. I guess, you know, we could say, you know, wealth, growth. I don't know. It's interesting. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? I don't know that we have a really good word for that. Because it's greed is more of a description, this idea that we're going to have, what was the other word that was being used there? You know, strategic wealth management or whatever you want to call it. That's more of an action. That's not a description. That's more of an action statement. It's more of a verb than a, you know, pronoun. I don't know. It's kind of a weird, it's kind of thing. It's interesting. I don't know. Maybe one of you out there can tell me, and maybe one of you can actually call or text the show. How about that for a lead in? 574-651-7685. You can call or text the show. And if you're living outside the country and you want to have some kind of influence on the show and you don't have an international calling plan, you can go to google.com/voice and you can type that number in. You can find, you know, you can put the statement in there if you want to do that. So you can make a comment or you can make you know, ask a question. You can leave a voicemail if you want to do that. Maybe I'll play it on the show. Maybe I won't. Anyway, so there you go. That's what I've got to say about that. Let's listen to this. If you're still listening to the show, we're going to be, I'm going to play this thing and see how this goes. I think this is going to work. Yeah, there it is. It looks like it's 6 minutes long. So I think well, I'm so, how long we got the show going on here? Oh my goodness, we're almost on an hour already. I want to play part of this. I'm not sure I'm going to play all this, but we're going to play some of this. Let's see what you think about this as they talk about these. This is kind of their culmination. It's kind of an aggregate of everything that goes on in these videos. Each video is about 10 minutes long, so it's about 30 minutes worth of video, and you're getting this little 6-minute thing here. And I can ask it questions if I want to, but we're gonna go on here with this thing.
Imagine making $133,000 a year. That puts you in the top 25% of earners in America.
Right.
But you're still overdrawing your checking account every single month.
Yeah, it sounds crazy, but it is happening constantly. Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we are really unpacking the brutal math of affordability in 2026.
Exactly. Like, what does a normal standard of living actually cost in the USA right now? You know, we are taught that pursuing the American dream is this straightforward game.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, I mean, it feels like playing Monopoly, where every time you pass a go, the bank just secretly doubles the rent on all the properties.
Right, and they are still only paying you your standard $200.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's unpack this.
Well, that Monopoly analogy is spot on. I mean, the recent economic data shows exactly how that rent gets doubled. Let's look at the baseline of quote-unquote normal right now through this hypothetical guy, Marcus.
What about Marcus?
Yeah, so he makes $78,000 a year, which is the median income, and he's not living lavishly at all.
No, far from it. He rents a basic, you know, beige walled apartment for $4,490 a month, and he drives a used Honda Civic. But that car costs him $910 a month now.
Which is wild for a used Civic.
It really is. But used car loans today basically look like payday loans. We are talking about an 11.4% interest rate, and then you add gas and insurance.
Oh, and add in like $430 for basic groceries, right?
Yeah, exactly. So after just surviving, he only has $1,481 left, and that has to cover utilities, savings, a social life, and, God forbid, an actual emergency.
It's tight. And the reality is that earning a six-figure salary doesn't instantly pull you out of the danger zone either. Like, let's go back to that family earning $133,000 a year.
The ones running the monthly deficit.
Right. The reason they are running that deficit isn't some fluke. It is because just one standard expense, which is center-based childcare now, costs.
I may have shut it off. Oh, is it gonna play again?
Imagine making $133,000 a year.
I think
that
I
puts
just,
you in the top 25% of earners in America, right?
Yeah, I think I just started it over again. I didn't mean to do that.
Every single month.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
What I want to do though here is I want to provide a while these guys are talking.
Today we are really unpacking the.
I want to show you how this thing works.
Affordability.
I thought I could just push on this and make it work.
Should have pushed on this before.
So one of the things I can do is I can push on this little button. I can ask a question. So I'm going to push on this.
Oh hey, I think our listeners got something to say.
Hey, I just wanted to ask a question about this. I have a question about the, you know, if I'm, it doesn't matter a lot about where you live in the world, where you live in the country. There's just so many differences in cost of living throughout the country. And then the other issue is not just that, but there's also the cost of living differences. There's also the fact that you can make money online from anywhere in the country, live someplace now that's lower cost and still make more money because you have an online job or you have you don't have to go into an office. Is that a possibility? Is that something that, I don't know. Does that make sense?
I'm so glad that makes sense to you.
Yes, thank you for chiming in.
Because that feeling, that sense of things not adding up is exactly what we're trying to validate today.
That intuition, which is that you're doing everything right, but you're still not getting ahead, that is the structural math problem we are talking about.
It's not about your spending habits.
Right.
Yeah, see, I don't think it picked up. I think I might have clicked on the wrong microphone thing. Let's try this again.
Oh, go for it.
All right, yeah, so the question I really have here is, the question of you can live anywhere.
I'm so glad that makes sense to you.
Yes, thank you for chiming in.
Oh, my
that
word.
Feeling, that sense of it didn't, things not adding up is exactly what we're trying to validate.
Am I supposed to hold the button
intuition,
down?
Intuition, which is that you're doing everything right, but you're still not getting ahead, that is the structural math problem we were talking about.
It's not about your
spending habits. All right, well, that's it. Anyway, that's all I'm going to talk about. I've gone too long on the show here already, so it's kind of one of those, maybe done with it. interesting stuff that this thing is able to do. I'll be using some of this kind of thing a little bit more as time goes on. We're going to be making some more data culmination type stuff to be able to use, as well as more clips, more video and audio clips, hopefully in the future as well. But as we kind of press on, I've got one more week of work ahead of me at the end of this week. On Friday, there will be a show, probably going to be a show on Friday. It should be a show every day this week, the rest of this week. Should be able to have a show. Tomorrow morning's going to be a little bit more earlier, probably going to be live tomorrow at maybe 9 o'clock. We'll see how that works out. I've got some stuff I need to be to... I just got some stuff I got to do in the morning. It may be 8 o'clock for the show if it's going to be a live show. And of course, the live show only goes about 30 minutes. So just so you know, in the meantime, let's just close out the show here with the regular way of doing things. We'll just play this.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
It's the news. Yeah, that's
according
right.
To me, it's
we're gonna.
The
yeah,
news.
Just gonna. Yeah. Okay. So we're just gonna finish up the show here. We're already over an hour, and it's just I don't want to go any longer. I won't waste any more of your time. Because I have more respect for you than that. Tomorrow's show is probably going to be live, and I would say between probably 8 o'clock or 8:30, one of those two we're planning on doing. And in the meantime, got the rest of the day to work through. I should be able to get this posted in the next 10 minutes. My new system here it is able to do things so much faster than before. It's kind of helpful. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. We will talk more about some of the things that tomorrow's show. See how that goes. In the meantime, what else was I going to say? I was going to say something else. I don't know what I was saying. Anyway. So, call the show if you want, 574-651-7685, and we will leave a message there, leave a text message, whatever you want to do with that thing. Figure out what this whole greed thing is all about. God bless, folks. Have a great day. I will see you tomorrow. See ya.